Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your support. You can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter, at Macroaggressions. Also, we have an Instagram account, at Macroaggressions Podcast. Thank you to our sponsors who make this show possible. Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years. In the United States and Canada. And what they do is that it's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high-powered law firms in your area so that you get access to an attorney at a very, very reasonable rate. About $30 a month will get you in, which allows you access to do all kinds of things, paperwork, documents, last will and testament, financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney. If you're somebody that has... carries a gun, or you need some sort of paperwork for that, they have options for that. If you need identity protection, ID Shield, they have that as well. If you run a small business, but you don't have your own legal department, or you don't have a lawyer working for you, there's a small business plan for that. There's quite a bit going on over there. I would suggest people that are interested, just go to the website and take a look for yourself, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. That's the domain that is specific to us. It'll get you in, get you access to attorneys that have, you know, on average 22 years of experience will be the ones that you'll be working with. You can get it if you're getting audited by the IRS for a W-2, or you get a speeding ticket or some sort of weird traffic ticket, or your job wants you to sign some new language for your employment contract that involves something having to do with like a medical injection that you agree to, and you say, I don't really know about that. Send all that stuff to your attorney, have them review it. Wealthy people don't make any moves until their attorney look over the paperwork. Why shouldn't you too? So website is don'tgetpushedaround.com. Check it out. Also, C60 Purple Power has been with us since pretty much the beginning. We are so appreciative of Ken Schwartz and the team over there. I think this particular product is going to be relevant given the nature of this conversation. So I definitely wanted to mention that. It's a free radical scavenger. The C60 molecule looks like something like a hollow soccer ball. It roams your body, finding free radicals and resetting itself, neutralizing them, and then resetting itself over and over again. It's the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's hundreds of times more powerful than any conventional antioxidants. It can help maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy. It also may provide cellular protection. And Ken was a nuclear physicist, and I guess he still is, and he needed something that would help him not die. And C60, the carbon 60 atom, won the guys that discovered it the Nobel Prize. So it's a big deal. And C60 Purple Power has, they're making the best solution out there. So I'll tell you what, go to shopc60.com and read up about it. You'll be fascinated to know about this carbon 60 molecule that most people haven't ever heard of, but we've got it and we've had it for a long, long time. Shopc60.com is the website. Use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a little bit of money. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. ShopC60.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be an interesting episode because this is a topic that I think all of us really need to have a better understanding of, because we're living in a EMF soup out there, right? And we're getting bombarded by all these things, but they're invisible, so it doesn't matter, right? And nobody, who cares? So we've got the guy that knows more about this than just about anybody out there. We've got Nicholas Pino who's going to tell us all about EMF. Hey, man, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming on the show. And we appreciate in advance the tips that you're going to give us to save our DNA from getting manipulated, save our cells from being destroyed. How are you? Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. What an intro.
Yeah, I know, it's a mouthful there. But I mean, I have this vision of, I think we all kind of do this on some levels. If we can't see it, well, then it's not out there, right? It's not harming us. I can't see that if you walk through smoky air, you understand the air is contaminated. If you walk through air that is polluted with electromagnetic frequencies, you may not feel it, you may not smell it, taste it, or anything like that, but it is impacting us. And maybe like back in the, 40 years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal. But man, we've had a lockdown a couple years ago where they were installing 5G towers everywhere. This is being rolled out. Where do we even start on our understanding of? I guess let's do this. Start at the beginning. What is electromagnetic frequencies and what are they used for in our modern world?
Sure. Well, our biology has evolved in billions of years to be exposed to certain types of frequencies. Some frequencies come from space. Some EMF electromagnetic fields are emitted by the Earth. That's the Earth magnetic field. We know that human beings need the Earth magnetic field. We know that we need the sun. Sun exposure is linked with an increase in vitamin D. It's an increase of mood, especially if you don't, get actively sunburned, if you get just the proper dose. So we are dependent on natural EMFs. Natural EMFs help us stay alive and stay healthy, just like they do for plant. If you put a plant under a tarp, you're in trouble. And we know now that the same thing happens with humans. If you stay indoors, never go outside, zero sun, you get depression, you get low immunity, low mood. So also we are dependent on that. The problem is that we started using EMFs, electromagnetic fields, that are man-made, that are artificial. It's the processed foods of frequencies that we started using in the environment. It was actually at the end of the 1700 that we started playing with electricity at first. So it's kind of 200 and something and a few decades, years in the making. Eventually, we rolled out the electricity to civilization. So that's one use of EMFs because we are surrounded by electrical fields. But especially in the last few decades, we've increased our EMF exposure in the range that is called radio frequency. That's the cell phones. Cell phones communicate with a tower. Cell phone towers have to blast these signals basically at a very wide angle, or in the case of 5G in certain situations, at a very thin angle to a user's phone that is walking in the street. We have the Wi-Fi routers. We have now a lot of people that would have those, but without the wire. So a Bluetooth earbud in the ear, close to the brain. A lot of people have watches that are smart watches. So it's really the fast increase in that radio frequency range that is, let's say, the most modern example of how much we are now increasingly exposed to these EMFs. And what do you think is the increase in EMFs in that radio frequency range in the last 100 years? Just take a guess.
Oh, gosh. A thousand times more dangerous?
Yeah, 1,000. That's a fair guess. Some people say 1 billion. It's actually 1 billion billions time. It's called a quintillion times more exposure than 100 years ago, because our biology has evolved with radio frequency, but the only radio frequency normally in nature that is found comes from distant stars. So it arrives on Earth at such a low level, but now the average levels in city is a quintillion times higher than what our biology is accustomed to. So 100 years ago, 3-4 generations ago, they were exposed to a quintillion times less than right now. So it doesn't show danger or, you know, or safety. Right. It just says that we have a new agent that is brand new to our biology. And it is not a tiny exposure increase. It is an unimaginable amount more than our ancestors. So this is the start of the conversation. We have something new, artificial, and we know that we are exposed tremendously more than our ancestors.
Wow. That's a massive increase, right? Like you said, it's impossible to even comprehend that.
Exactly.
So this is the trade-off for modern life, right? We've got these cell phones, these computers in our pockets that can do more than anybody's ever had access to, that we think in history. And the downside is, they're constantly pulsing. They're constantly receiving signals. We keep them in our pockets, right next to our balls, which is great. I'm sure that's nothing to see here with that. I mean, we're doing everything wrong with this, right? Like, what?
For sure.
And what if we're aware of this? Okay, so now we're all aware of this, and so now we've got to understand that we've got some problems here. My guess is, and you probably correct me on this number is only going up, right?
It is.
It doesn't appear to be going down anytime soon. There's no switch over to a different technology that doesn't use these waves, or
we could, you know, there are ways to reduce exposure. At the moment, what I'm focusing on, especially when you have such a daunting topic, if you end the conversation there, you leave people in pure fear with no hope, right? I hate that. So, of course, there are solutions. You can tremendously lower your exposure. And for sure, you cannot completely lower your exposure from, I mentioned the levels in cities. I'm in Budapest. When I'm in Montreal or I was in Japan, I'm exposed to all these EMFs. Most of them I cannot avoid. But a large fraction of them I can, if I choose how to use my devices. And we can focus on that on the later part of this discussion.
For sure.
But so there is a way to actually minimize the impact that we know are the most problematic uses of that technology that are related to specific diseases or risks to people's health. And that's the most important message is, okay, well, you know, If it's background levels, how is it impacting us? We don't know exactly, but we do know that devices that are very close, you mentioned cell in the pocket, that's one of the uses that I would discourage from people. And that actually demands a change of habit. But I think what is most important to mention before that is that what we're being told right now by Health Canada, by the FCC, Federal Communication Commissions in the US, by the telecoms, of course, they're selling the products. They're not going to really engage in the discussion and tell you, well, you should use it less, right? It's the opposite of where the market goes. And society as a whole is not only we're getting addicted to these devices, dependent on these devices as an extension of our brain, we're also moving with more and more towers, more and more Bluetooth devices, the Internet of Things, where everything is interconnected. The average household, I read that a few minutes ago, the average household in Canada, as of 2 years ago during the pandemic, had 25 wireless devices on average. So it's not just one phone and just one Wi-Fi router. It's many things, including your Bluetooth alarm clock. A lot of people have these Nest, these thermometers in their bedroom. So each one of these sources is part of the problem. It's the whole of exposure that is the problem. But what all these institutions are telling us, including, of course, the telecoms or Samsung and Apple and big tech, is that all these things are perfectly safe. And that's a problem I have with it as a citizen journalist. I say, wait a minute. There's a lot of independent science that are showing us increases in certain diseases, including maybe brain cancer, loss of fertility. And we can go through that if you're interested, yeah. Because the science is kind of all over the place. We can spend hours on this. But you have all these scientists telling us, no, it's a huge problem. We need to reduce exposure levels. And yet in society and mainstream news, we say, no, there's nothing to see, literally nothing to see. So it's really the disparity between these two ideas that made me go crazy about the topic. Say, wait a minute, there's probably, is it the guys with vested interest that are telling the truth? Most of the time, it's not the case, right? So I saw that with pharma, I saw that with agro. I've been studying, people that subscribe, I looked at the topics of your podcast. They probably all feel that, if they have vested interest, they probably don't tell the whole truth, right? Do they? It's a huge industry. And just to give you an idea, the amount of lobbying and the amount of money to be made by big tech with wireless technologies or technologies that use wireless to connect with other things is arguably bigger than pharma. So a lot of people see, the corruption around pharma, regulatory capture, and they say, oh, these guys, they're all about money and shareholders. Well, the same can be said for tech, except tech is increasing faster because now we're connecting, for example, every single human being, including the middle of the Sahara Desert. You have nomads with cell phones now because it helps them. And there are good sides to technology, but the reality is all these human beings are exposed now to these artificial EMFs at a just staggering increase that is really not something that can be easily stopped at the moment. So it's kind of a daunting topic. So you've got no safety, health effects that have been demonstrated, and an increase on top of that. So it's kind of a triple whammy that just makes it, okay, well, this is a topic that most people hate talking about, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, we know about the lobbying that goes on with the pharmaceutical industry, with the military-industrial complex, and we also see the pipeline from the White House into big tech, especially the Obama administration into Facebook, the Biden administration. It's a bunch of people that have tech backgrounds and everything. So we understand that there's a lot of lobbying going on. The tech isn't going away anytime soon. Yeah. I don't think that's happening, but the idea that you mentioned something, you mentioned that they were saying, oh, it doesn't have any impact at all. That makes me insane too, because we know it has an impact, and it would actually be better business for them if they admitted and recognized that, because we all know it when you hear them say, oh, this is totally safe and effective. It sounds like pharmaceutical industry to me saying, exactly. Oh, it's all safe and effective. Why would we lie about that? Except that we keep getting sued and our products don't work and killing people. The companies that are making wireless technology should just admit that it is dangerous at high levels, or however they would frame it. It's dangerous, but don't use it as much or whatever. And then, of course, they're never going to say that. We can't expect them to say that, but we could expect the government to put some kind of protections in there. Are they completely and utterly captured, or are there any sort of physical protections that are going up? Let's talk about 5G as an example, because that has recently been rolled out. And I know there's a lot of questions about that. Some people say it's just the worst thing in the world. I've had other people that say it's not as bad as we're being told. I don't know the technical ins and outs of it enough to know where people, where the truth is in that. But I don't also remember the government asking our opinion if it was okay to roll out 5G, even though it was dangerous.
That's true. So
what is the truth of 5G? Is it as dangerous as we've been told? And if so, like, you know, like, how do we hide from it?
What do we do? Yeah.
What do we do?
I get it. Yeah. You know, 5G, when I wrote my book in 2017, 5G wasn't around. So I talked about it as a future technology, and everything that I wrote in my book originally was, you know, EMFs are bad. Current exposures are too much and we have health impacts without 5G. So that's 3G, 4G, Wi-Fi, all the rest. So this should not be forgotten. A lot of people who learned about EMFs through 5G tend to over-focus on 5G, say, oh my God, you know, the 5G towers are bad. And then when they're saying that, they're writing on their phone and they have a laptop on the lap and a smartwatch and they sleep with their router. I don't know. I'm kidding. Right. But, you know, you get the idea. They forget about all the other exposures that are equally as bad in a sense. But 5G is especially problematic when it comes to cell towers placement, because we're duplicating the amount of towers that were installing everywhere. And the idea is to have, at least that was the original plan, one tower every 3 to 12 homes in residential settings. That was the original thought of the industry. And that's like, when I saw the plans, and you know, it's just pure madness. The amount of towers just on a matter of energy consumption, there's surveillance issues, there is aesthetics questions of like big towers everywhere that look ugly in neighborhoods. There's a lot of questions, but especially the big concerns that scientists and doctors who understand these dangers have is that proximity is a problem. If you have a tower and it's far away, well, it is quite hazardous to stay right next to it. Like if you had a home on that hill over there, right underneath the big tower, and let's say that there's a direct exposure from this tower, people can get quite overexposed, even with our current exposure levels that are so permissive. In certain situations, you could go over these levels that are extremely permissive. Almost, you can almost get exposed to infinite levels of EMFs, to be quite honest, with current technologies, and it would still be deemed within the levels. And yet, you can probably surpass them if you're very close to a tower, because the intensity is just completely mad. Well, we have the third scientific report right now by the Hardell team. Leonard Hardell, just to tell you, he's a professor in Sweden who originally basically published scientific papers about Agent Orange being a carcinogen. So that was not a popular thought at the time, because of course you had the US involvement with Agent Orange and spraying that everywhere. And then he shows, we screwed up big time, or maybe it was on purpose. I don't get political about the uses. And it was horror of war, to be honest, because now you have cancers that show up in future generations as well. So he did that work around these carcinogens and toxic agents. And then he switched to EMS. Well, he determined that, you know, EMS can greatly increase the risk of brain tumor, especially on the side where you use a phone. And he's been talking about it for now more than a decade, two decades, I think. And, you know, his work around EMS is not as popular as Agent Orange because it's too controversial at the moment. Maybe in the future, it will be seen as a hero around EMS, but right now it's super controversial. Hardell published the third report about a 5G tower being installed near someone's home in Sweden and people getting sick within weeks, basically. And when I say sick, is that these were previously healthy individuals and now they cannot sleep. They have depression, all these symptoms. They basically, their health goes way down. And these are scientific reports with measurements that are professionally done by engineers, with doctors that are saying, yes, this patient got sick because of the tower. So, and it is published in a peer-reviewed scientific publication. So it's not an anecdote by one doctor where it can be, you know, dismissed. It is a mainstream thing that is happening right now. And yet I don't see a lot of reports about these scientific studies, right? Just in alternative views and my small world of EMF savvy people that say, oh my God, this is super, this is scandalous, but most people don't hear about it. So when it comes to 5G, if you wake up one morning and you're in Dallas or Montreal or Seoul, or because 5G is being rolled out everywhere. Yes. What can happen is that a tower can appear right in your bedroom window. It's been installed there. Maybe it was because you're right next to the street. And then the city said, yes, we can install it there for sure. No problem. And it's beaming towards you. The levels of exposure can be tremendous. And in those cases, most doctors that are studying the topic agree that these exposures, we're talking about much, much worse than talking on a phone. It's like having an army of phones glued to your body as you're just in your bedroom or in your office, you know? So yeah. It's an example. It's an extreme example because no, it's not everyone that is exposed to this, but I met individuals that got quite sick when a cell tower was installed on their building or maybe on the neighboring building, but looking towards them. And something to be mentioned is this, it's even more scandalous, as if things cannot get worse, right? We don't have monitoring. In the US and Canada, we have zero monitoring of emissions coming from cell phone towers. In certain other countries, including India, you have constant monitoring, including France, where many towers have been, you know, they reduce the power levels or they dismantle the tower and move it away if they find them non-compliant. So in other words, the levels are very permissive, but even if they go over that, no one will ever know. Wow. So it's really the business, the far west out there with telecoms, especially in the US and Canada. They install things. Attorneys lately, I listened to attorneys that say most reports that the telecoms will fill out in order to have the approval of the city for a new tower are basically full of mistakes or fraudulent. Most they say just as an example. So what they do is, okay, well, the tower is at XYZ distance. They kind of have incompetent people fill those, or they just straight up lie and then they install the tower. And then if they get slapped on the wrist, they remove it. So right. It is an industry that is very lucrative and that is constantly hiring people to install towers, more coverage. And that is currently, in my view, doing things that are completely reckless. Even if many people that work inside those industries are not really aware of these things. And they've been told that everything is safe. You know, that's kind of the tragedy here.
Yeah. Well, you know, they started a big push, at least here in the United States, to roll out 5G towers during COVID. And everyone yes. that was in our little world was like, what are these people doing? You know, we know about COVID. We sort of understood that there was a big scam behind that. We understand 5G is dangerous and we've got that. And then we hear, oh, everybody go in your house. It's a lockdown. But what are these people out there doing installing these 5G towers? Then, you know, David Icke just throws it out there. Hey, what if the 5G towers in conjunction with this virus makes, you know, what if it amplifies it, or what if it lowers your immune system? You mentioned people getting sick that are next to these towers. That's taking COVID sort of out of the equation. But what if you have people that are near these, just in general, near these towers, and it's lowering their body, their self defenses in their body, yes. and maybe not making COVID worse, but making your immune system worse, and therefore by default making COVID more susceptible to come and get you sick. Did you see connections between the rollout of 5G and the increase in people getting just having their immune system go to hell on them?
Yeah, there are very few scientists that had the political courage to kind of talk about this question. There's two that I'm aware of. Dr. Magda Havis from Trent University in Canada. And then there's Dr. Beverly Rubik, who's a frontier science researcher around the human biofield, but who also did a very interesting paper on the link between, you know, places that had worst bouts of COVID pandemic, and then the fact that EMFs can suppress the immune system. And she clearly establishes, she looks at the science, and this is not really something new. It's just that it's you know, summarized in one scientific paper. So Rubik, R-U-B-I-K, in if people type that and then 5G and EMFs, they're going to find a paper. But it is clear that EMFs can be immunosuppressive. So if you are very exposed to EMFs, and arguably that could be the bulk of the population, to be quite honest, but especially if you are very close to a tower, then yes, it is quite probable that it will be immunosuppressive and lower your ability to just stay healthy, whatever nature or, you know, circumstances throw at you. And one link that I want to make also is that it is quite clear that EMFs can interfere with good sleep. So imagine that the only impact of your cell phone being next to your bedstand or your Wi-Fi router being next to your bedroom, very close, which is the case of many people, or the 25 wireless devices in your home are each contributing to that load of EMFs inside your home. Imagine if it's just deteriorating 5% of your sleep quality. Well, over a lifetime, it is something. It is something. It might not make you sick, kill you, or all these big words, cancer. No, but it is lowering your quality of life, because when I don't sleep well, maybe my blood sugar isn't good the next day and my appetite is all over the place. Maybe my mood isn't great and I have a hard time staying calm and I have a five-year-old at home. So it doesn't help me, right? So, or I have work to do and I get brain fog. So sleep quality is so key. And yet, in the EMF conversation, sometimes we get lost on like, okay, does it cause cancer and these things? Well, imagine if it just interferes with your sleep. Like, who here sleeps enough and enough quality? Almost no one on the planet that is in the Western world with this frantic lifestyle is able to get, oh yeah, I do get 8 to 10 hours and incredibly good sleep. I mean, almost no one can say that they get enough. No, exactly. Some people get 4 or 5, and some people say I'm insomniac, I've been 20 years. So if you minimize EMFs in the bedroom, especially in the bedroom, but all over the home during the night, for example, by turning off Wi-Fi before you go to bed, a lot of people report better sleep. And that's true among people that kind of knew they are bothered by EMFs. They do feel sensitive. And that's also true by people who had no idea they were affected by EMFs, including some doctors that I talked to in the scope of my work. And one of them, you know, turned off Wi-Fi for the first time a few years ago after reading my book, and he couldn't sleep for a week. And he got insomniac for the first time of his life. And he said, after a week, I started sleeping more soundly than before. And what he thinks is happening here is that my body was accustomed to the Wi-Fi somehow, to that frequency in the home. And all of a sudden, it went haywire during a week, adjusting to the non-Wi-Fi environment or the less Wi-Fi environment. Because again, a lot of people will listen to the conversation and say, wait a minute. If you turn off your Wi-Fi, how about the 150 Wi-Fis from my neighbor in Montreal that are right next to me, right? But distance matters, because even though you can detect on your computer 150 Wi-Fi or whatever your number is with all funny names and whatnot from your neighbors, you can detect that, but they're far away. So the one that is exposing you the most is oftentimes your own. Either it's in your bedroom, which I don't recommend at all, but for a lot of people, it's in the living room, and it might be quite close to your pillow. Like here in this apartment that we're renting, I think it would be 15 feet. It is exposing me way more than a neighbor, I can tell you that. So if I turn it off, I'm helping my sleep quality right there. So even if it's a little bit, this is how you think about EMFs is, okay, well, what can I turn off, right? Okay, can I turn off the 5G antenna? Well, maybe not. You can go to attorneys. There are attorneys now specialized in winning, you know, I guess, citizens' actions against cell towers. And increasingly, they are winning. It's starting really, there's a big movement in New York City. There are movements against cell towers placement all around the world. We're not hearing so much about it, but it's going to be increasingly true that they win these cases left and right. But it's a long battle. Sometimes it takes a decade or something like that. Right. So in the meantime, you don't sleep well, right? So the best thing you can do is to start focusing on the closest devices, the devices that are the closest to your body, including your Wi-Fi router at night. So I think this is so key.
Turn the Wi-Fi router off at night is what you're saying.
Definitely. Yep.
All right. So we've got, on the one hand, it's tough to quantify sleep, right? Impacts your sleep. Yeah. And it's not going to kill you, but it's not the best thing. Then on the other hand, on the far extreme, we've got, say, cancer, right? And we know what that means. What about right in the middle? What about hormones? Hormone levels for men and women. These are things that really don't get much talk about in the general public, but your ability to regulate your hormonal balance, I think, is really important. We've kind of lost that, and it gets impacted for a variety of ways. And EMF is one of those, right? What can EMF do to your hormone levels?
Yeah, the worst way you can impact your hormone levels with a phone is by keeping it in your pocket all day, every day. Okay. And that's true for men, especially for men. The best data we have is on men and on sperm count, motility. So that's fertility, but also testosterone production. And we have good data, good reasons to think. Actually, some scientists say very convincing data that if you keep a phone in your pocket, you are harming your testosterone. So that's very interesting for men who maybe already have kids. They don't care about fertility at all, couldn't care less. But keep in mind that as you age, your fertility level as a man, even in your 50s and 60s and beyond, is a good reflection of your overall health. So if this thing is working, right, it's not just that it's producing healthy sperm. It also means that it's producing testosterone and other hormones that need to function well for you to just stay healthy, stay strong. So it will impact your muscle mass, stay sharp. It will impact, you know, your ability to stay motivated as well. So it is really key, especially testosterone is key for so many things. Men with low testosterone just don't have the same drive for life, don't have the same vitality. But it's also true in women as well. Although we have, like, the science isn't as convincing, there's no reason to think it's any safer for women. It's like, oh no, women can get exposed all day. No, it's probably not the case. And for women, it's a little bit trickier because testosterone levels are very, very small compared to men, but it's still essential. Like women, for example, who have zero testosterone oftentimes would have zero libido. So not great sexual health and no zest for life necessarily. So part of the reason might be that they keep also a phone in the pocket. Also, for women, they might keep their phone in other places that are just as hazardous. For example, in the breast area, like in sports bra and things like that. There are reports by one doctor in California that looked at different very weird type of breast tumors that they think is caused by keeping a phone for over a decade in the bra all day, every day. Wow. So again, you choose where you want to really have risks or damage your body. And my recommendation is just don't keep it there. You know, if you carry your phone in your pocket for 1 hour, it's one thing. 12 hours times a lifetime is another.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cumulative exposure is really where the most of the problem lies. It's not to say, you know, oh, I went to this coffee shop, I was next to the router, I see it there, and now I think I'm damaged for life. No. What is your cumulative everyday exposure? Mine has been reduced greatly because, for example, what I do, this computer is wired. Yes, you can still use wired internet. And I'm a big proponent of it. And sometimes I'm only 35. I sound like I'm like an old timer or something because I advocate for wired technologies. You know, it's a bit like some people see it as retrograde or even like vintage at this point, right?
I need it wired straight in because sometimes my Wi-Fi gets a little spotty and I'd
Well, that's the thing. So back in my condo in Montreal, we bought this place 2 years ago. And before that, we were renters. And I installed my office in my bedroom. It's at the end of a long corridor. The way our apartment is shaped is very long. And the Wi-Fi was spotty. So I do these interviews. Zoom is always blurry. It's so unprofessional. It cuts off. Very frustrating. So I ended up saying, okay, well, you know, I know that the EMFs are bad anyway, and we're going to run the wire in the corridor and eventually we'll run it in the walls. You know, you can have an IT company do it. And now it's super stable. So number one reason, not even about EMFs, just mental sanity and good connection. If you're someone who does Zoom or podcasting, a lot of people do Zoom nowadays with their team because they're working now from home increasingly so. So that's a big plus. You don't have spotty Wi-Fi. And then, of course, all these hours that I'm spending in front of my computer, I have a stable connection. So I keep my mental sanity. And also, I'm not being exposed by my computer because that's another source that is quite close to my body. Right. So again, it's just, you know, the wire is $20. So the Wi-Fi is over there and I turned off the Wi-Fi function. That's optional. But even if you don't turn off Wi-Fi, if you wire it up and you turn off Wi-Fi on your computer, now you have the wired internet on your computer. It means that you've reduced all those hours that you're spending on a computer. And how many hours am I spending per week? I don't know, a good 40 hours at least. Yeah. For some people, it's 100. They're spending their life in front of a computer. So again, cumulative exposure is really where you're going to get the most benefits to minimize the exposures. And we talked about fertility. If you take the computer, it's emitting Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, two wireless types of signals in one device. You put it on your lap. What do you think happens, right? There are studies around loss of fertility within 4 hours in men that are measurable. Wow. So again, in men, it can be healed in a sense. Like sperm count can eventually come back, but we don't know about the long-term damage to, you know, your growing apparatus here, your family jewels. We don't know exactly what it does over a lifetime. If we look at rat models, it's not good, you know, because EMFs can eventually break your DNA. And some of the damage, according to certain scientists, is not repairable. Some of it is. So, you know, the sooner you stop putting it on your lap and you use it, even if you use it on Wi-Fi, I don't mind, but in front of you on a table, the good old way, not on the lap. It's too close to your body. It's not just, it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we as human beings we make calculations every day about what the amount of risk we're willing to take.
Yeah.
And we kind of do these, you know, make these mathematical adjustments. I think most people that have pets would prioritize their pet over them. I'm curious about the effects of EMF radiation on pets. You know, you might not want to take care of it for yourself, and you may think, oh, I don't care, but you don't want your cat or your dog to get bombarded with this. I wonder, have we done any studies? I mean, I guess, you know, I'm curious if any studies have been done to show the impact. Does it matter? We're bigger. We can absorb more of it. Does it impact the cat, like a cat at twice the rate because it's much smaller than us? Like, how does that all work with regard to the animals?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about cats and small dogs or even children. It doesn't matter because they're smaller, right? So anything that is smaller than an adult will absorb more EMFs. Children absorb twice as much pound per pound compared to an adult because their body contains more water. So they absorb more of that microwave radiation. When it comes to pets, I haven't seen data, although I did talk to a few doctors that are veterinarian that clearly in their mind, EMFs can cause these tumors. And I have seen good anecdotes where dogs were in a certain spot of the home near the router or cats, and they develop tumors later. And I don't have, if it's a carcinogen in humans, it is likely a carcinogen in also, you know, household pets. And I was shocked by it because I'm not, you know, I'm not someone who has a pet at home. So I did not really study the topic, but I did talk to Ty Bollinger from Truth About Cancer, who is a pet lover. He talked about the Truth About Pet Cancer, a docuseries that he did a few years ago. And he told me that, you know, the the PAP cancers are increasing at a super fast rate, where you have so many dogs that in the end, the I think one of the main causes of mortality in household pets is cancer now. So is it the food? Is it that they're they go outside and they go on in the grass and they have, you know, pesticide exposure? Is it the EMFs? It's probably all of them, but the pets are just overwhelmed by this degree of toxicity. So if you have a pet at home and you want to care for it, definitely, especially if the Wi-Fi router is right there near his favorite spot, or maybe where your loved animal is sleeping, it's not a good idea to have the router there. So you can even just relocate the router in an area of the home where no one is. For example, a corner of the garage would be good, or like a closet somewhere that is maybe where you just have long-term storage, for example, would be good. It's far away and maybe it's a little bit less good on connectivity, but you gotta, you know, choose your battles here. Yeah. But at least no one is exposed within 10 feet of that router. And that would be kind of my primary strategy. If I had to have Wi-Fi at home, would be to have it in a corner where you know you're not going to be spending your entire life for so many hours right next to the machine, because the exposure there is quite high.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's good to know. Well, and one of the things that I didn't know this until I started reading a little bit more on the topic of EMF is the relationship that what it does to the blood brain barrier in our brain, in our heads, right? And now we talked about this. I've done, you know, written about the pharmaceutical industry and the vaccines in particular, and how we've got aluminum issues crossing the blood brain or clogging up the blood brain barrier. I then read this that EMF has impacts on the opening up that blood brain barrier and allowing things to go through that shouldn't go through. Is this the real hidden problem with EMF? Is this what ultimately is going to screw us all up? Is that it's opening us up to opening up the holes in our brains and allowing things to get in there that maybe shouldn't?
We don't know. There's good data on blood-brain barrier being affected negatively even after a few minutes of a phone call in animal models. I don't know where the research is at. I don't know it's been followed that much. This is a type of research that would need to be funded. The question is who pays for it? It's not a topic that a lot of scientists want to touch with a stick, because when you start going into EMFs, you're kind of considered fringe or not serious as a scientist. So it is very controversial still somehow, because I think the industry made it controversial. It's kind of a strategy here. So we don't know exactly what the impact is, but a lot of doctors who treat electro hypersensitive patients who have such sensitivity to these EMFs that they don't feel good inside a city. Just the background levels are too much for them. They got to live in the countryside. A lot of them have realized that, you know, a cell phone gives them headaches, brain fog. They don't have Wi-Fi. And for these people, a lot of these people have opened blood-brain barriers. So it's one of the markers that they have in common. So what happens if your barriers, the blood-brain barrier is very thin, and when it's open, when it shouldn't be open, you have certain particles that can get in, including, you know, pathogens, but also including other toxic agents that we're exposed to. The brain should be kept clean in order to keep a healthy brain. That's kind of basic, but the brain is especially sensitive to these toxic exposures. And there's good reasons to think that EMFs can be a co-carcinogen. And that's an interesting thing, because interesting in a sense of very concerning, of course. It's kind of a intellectual, interesting, but deadly for the population. I got to remind myself that we're talking about people here. It's very special that when in animal models, you expose animals to certain pesticides alone in certain dosage, they have no cancer or no impact. Certain dosage of cell phone exposure, no impact. The two together, big impact. So sometimes you have a toxic synergy between different agents, including pesticides and EMFs, or even, you know, gamma radiation if you fly a lot, you're a pilot, and then cell phone radiation. So different types of EMFs combined together. And the data on this is very sparse. We don't have all the data, but there's good reason to think that the brain, the blood-brain barrier is impacted. And this, it could explain why certain people have these tumors also, because it could contribute to the toxicity of the brain and the lack of repair. So we don't know exactly, but a lot of scientists years ago concluded that on the blood-brain barrier, they said the data we already have is very concerning. We should tell the population not to have a phone to their head. Of course, that was not done, and people still use it to their head every day or have it in their pocket. Although, with the use of this podcast and other activists that are talking about it and dedicating their life, we hope that some people are going to get it and start, you know, taking preventative measures. What they said is, what about other barriers? Because it's not just the blood-brain barrier we're talking about. What about the gut barrier? The gut barrier is very, very thin, a few cells thick, and basically can allow, if opened mistakenly by EMFs, imagine your cell phone, you're texting, and it's near your abdomen. If it's opening your gut barrier when it should not be open, now you're letting food particles in. So is there a link with food allergies or even gut toxicity? Because your gut is technically outside your body and it's filtering a lot of stuff. But if it gets into your blood, maybe it's bad news. What about the barriers for your organs? There's a testicular barrier that exists. I was not aware of it before reading the research. It's very fragile and is responsible for keeping your testes functioning the way they should. Is it why our testosterone is impacted? We don't know. All these questions, there are so many. There's like 1,000 scientific questions that are unanswered. And that's my big concern has always been what we don't know about that stuff.
What do we know about, we've talking about electromagnetic frequency, and then I'm thinking about the electricity in my heart.
Yeah.
Does it have, what are the ramifications of EMF on heart, where you're talking about electricity, you're talking about rhythms, you're talking about, can this create a situation that, you know, causes dysrhythmia or something? I mean, what are the ramifications of EMF on just our you know, the most important thing in our body, our heart.
It's probably not good. You know, you have the pacemaker cells that they're called, that are specialized cells that are responsible for keeping your heart rhythm, and they are especially impacted by this radiation. Two different holistically minded cardiologists told me that they are frequently seeing patients that come into the clinic. They have cell phone right there every day. And they say, doc, I don't know what's happening. I have arrhythmia, or, you know, like not enough heart rate or a heart racing. Sometimes it's kind of all over the place. They remove the phone, they get tremendously better. So it's symptoms directly related to an exposure. So that's something. In rat models, we also have weird types or very rare types of heart tumors that are seen in rats. So that's in another angle to the problem. But something even more dramatic happened in the last few years is that the new Apple MagSafe technology that started, I think, with the iPhone 10 or 11. MagSafe is basically a sort of strong magnet that they added inside the iPhone on the back, so you can use wireless charging. There are reasons that they use new technologies in there, and they basically warned users, we do think that you should keep your phone several inches away from your heart if you have a pacemaker, an artificial heart, right? So exactly. And what happened, I think a few months ago, they published again, cardiologists published again, and even Apple added even new warnings for different devices, and, you know, including different devices you might have around the home, including like, I think it was Amazon Echo, or these kind of devices should be kept around a foot from the body. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people just keep them, or they hand them to toddlers, you know. So Apple will say publicly, No, zero effect. But at the same time, because they know the lawsuits are coming, well, by the way, if you have a pacemaker, don't have a phone anywhere close to your heart. But if you have a real heart, no problem. So how mad is this, right? So artificial hearts interference, human heart, no interference whatsoever. I mean, it's not realistic. Of course, there is some interference and it's not good. And one researcher from Washington State University is a professor emeritus who's retired, and but still, you know, talking about it every day. Dr. Martin Paul said that in his view, one of the primary causes of the increase of heart failures in our youth before the pandemic, and I'll say it because I know you guys are talking about the topic of heart failures in youth quite a lot, or probably talked about it, yeah, before circa 2020. Before that, we already were seeing more and more heart attacks in young athletes. That's a fact. And I talked about it in 2018, 2019, Dr. Martin Paul published on that. And in his view, the only explanation or the main explanation that he saw was the increase in cell phones near the heart. Possibly a young male that, I don't know why it's always males, but it would just have, a biology that makes our heart much more prone to having heart failures. And I don't recall exactly why it is. It's just one of the main reasons that men die is heart attacks, unfortunately. And now it's even teenagers and young people, and even before the pandemic again. So we have hints and pieces around the heart. It's impossible that it's good for your heart. Let's put it that way. It doesn't make sense. So concerning there are risks everywhere that are studied, it's like, now should you put it near, I don't know, like some people are going to ask me, okay, well, what about, you know, my neck? I don't know, like just away from the body. Right. Like there's no reason to put it near the body because the data we already have is concerning enough.
Yeah, it really is. Well, we've talked about hormones, blood brain barrier. We've talked about headaches. We've talked about sleeping, all these things. Let's talk about some solutions. Let's talk about some things that we can do that, that put us in a better protection. I'll tell you what I saw recently, and you tell me, this might be just total nonsense, garbage science, yeah, but it was an interesting angle. At least it made me think. They said lead paint has gone away because, you know, lead is bad for you and it lowers your IQ and everything. But then they said, what if lead paint actually prevented the EMF radiation from outside from getting into your house, and they wanted to get rid of the lead paint industry so that the EMF radiation would definitely come in and bombard you? I was like, I don't know anything about the science behind that, but that sounds like something these sneaky bastards would be up to. So yeah. I'm assuming lead paint still isn't good for us, right? That's just some kind of crazy, it's not a good idea to put lead paint all over your house to protect from EMF.
Right? Yeah, well, I'm concerned about other toxins as well, obviously, and I try to keep a healthy home. Lead exposure is quite bad, especially if it's in the paint, it chips away, gets into your dust, you breathe it in, you don't want it in there. But there is carbon-based paint that is being used, and this one, you know, is being used by a type of professional called an EMF mitigation specialist. There are a type of engineer that can come to your home and recommend steps to block outside frequencies. And in certain, this is quite an advanced step, of course. Some people who are now exposed to cell phone towers choose to completely isolate their bedroom. They create this Faraday cage in their bedroom. And there are two main ways to do it. The paint, which is pitch black, but then you apply real paint over it. So it can actually look quite good. You don't even know it's there. Sometimes you do have to put a membrane under the floor. So it can be quite expensive, to be honest. We're talking about $2,000-$4,000 worth of it's a rework of the bedroom. And maybe you can choose, you know, to repaint the bedroom and even renovate and make it an entire project. But some people do that and have dramatic results with their health. If they some anecdotes from one of my colleagues, Brian Hoyer, who's has been doing that for years now, over probably I think well over 1,000 times in households throughout the U.S., he saw people who previously were on thyroid medication, and after a few nights in a shielded room where the levels of EMFs detected are pretty much like off the grid, right? Mm-hmm. You're in the middle of a city, but now your body can calm down. Now they got hyperthyroid symptoms where they had to completely discontinue their medication after a few days or completely readjust it because the body was just going back to homeostasis. Maybe, and for some other people, it's the first time that they slept in years, that they slept soundly through the night without waking up. So what happens at the moment is that certain doctors that are aware of EMFs are telling their sickest patients to get these rooms that are completely enclosed if they can afford it. Sometimes it's part of the treatment plan. Something that is a little bit less involving as a process is something you put over the bed, a sort of bed canopy that okay. you can put over the bed. It looks like a, let's say, a fish or mosquito net. It is usually a mix of silver and cotton. So it looks, you know, it doesn't look so good, but it doesn't look so bad. And you sleep underneath it. And this also does the job quite well. So these are more extreme examples, but you know, for some people is the way to go. Whereas there, some athletes are looking to optimize their body to the highest degree and they paint their room with this paint and get the best results in their career. We saw that. Or the sickest patients really need to recover. So when you put them in a room like that, you're not doing something fancy. You're merely trying to get back to those levels I talked about that our ancestors were exposed to. So again, you know, a lot of people talked about the paleo movement. Eat real food that our ancestors ate. Then they talked about the fact we're always in front of screens. Maybe we should instead take a walk in nature. Right?
Right.
You know, yeah, well, duh. We've our biology is made for these things. And it's also made to have an enclosed space with no EMFs. And maybe that's nature even better, get in the countryside in the middle of nowhere. And then a lot of people who sleep there experience, you know, the best sleep of their life. They're like, oh my God. Yeah. And it's no light pollution. The air is better, is cleaner, you don't have as much stress. And then also electro pollution levels go way down, normally speaking, as you get outside the large city areas.
Yeah. And you have, we have sleeves, we have shungite necklaces and bracelets, right? This was the first time I had heard of that before, but these are items that you can put in your pocket with you, or you can wear them as jewelry, and it what does it do? Does it absorb EMF radiation, deflect it? Like, how does it all work? Does it work? Is it hocus pocus?
It's not as clear for this entire category of different products, including certain types of crystals. Shungite is a bit special. It's a type of rock that has been quite heavily researched, but mostly in Russia and Eastern Europe for the properties associated with electromagnetic radiation. I don't know exactly how it works, but there are good reasons to think that some of these things could minimize health impacts. The problem that many scientists and many doctors studying the topic, including and also that I have about those, is we don't know exactly to what extent do they protect. Some companies that are marketing these products claim, you know, you have a rock in your pocket, you're protected 100%. Well, what does it mean? If I still talk on the phone, do you guarantee that I won't get a brain tumor? And right. Now the answer is, I don't know. So have you tested that shungite prevents my fertility from being harmed with my phone in the pocket? And normally they don't have this data. So how can you claim that? So it becomes a game of basically trying to convince through marketing and things like that. And I'm not against all these things, but I think they should be used in a certain context. So that context is the following. Try to minimize exposure. Don't use a phone right next to your body because it's not worth the risk. And then if you want to use shungite and necklaces and different things, some people that are quite sensitive to the EMFs have found them to be useful. And that's kind of their own truth, if you want, their own reality. Right. And it should not be completely disregarded or ignored. So I'm a little bit in between the scientists and the doctors. The reality is it might have some benefits, but we shouldn't fall under the illusion that all of a sudden, oh, I can do anything with my phone right now. I'm completely protected. Well, it's like thinking, I bought some antioxidants and I heard you talk about C60. I heard great things about that. Okay, I'm taking that. So now I can be exposed to all the pesticides in the world and right, all the EMFs. And it's fine because now I'm antioxidated by this. It doesn't make sense, right? So right, you get it. It's both. Try to eat healthy, live a healthy lifestyle. Try to avoid these exposures that are obvious, and maybe, you know, don't use as much plastic in your home, especially when you cook, or, you know, it's just basic stuff. Try to better your life through minimizing these toxic exposures. And then also use what is helping you, like the C60 yeah, or other things like the glutathione. There's so many great products out there that could be useful. So it's the same idea. Some people want black and white, and they want that one solution. Okay, yeah, this necklace makes you protected against EMFs, and now you can stop thinking about it. I haven't found in 7 years that product where it makes me confident to say, you know what, I'm done with EMFs. Wear the necklace, call it a day, and I'll just move on to my next topic. Right? I'm not there yet.
Yeah, well, and you may never get there because, like you said, the best thing is to do incorporate a couple of moves in your strategy.
Exactly.
Be proactive about that. That's kind of the theme of this show, has been to let's talk about the uncomfortable things and let's be proactive about it. Let's not be in denial. Let's not say, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, I don't see the EMF, so it's not there and everything's fine. Well, we know better than that. So it's been. I'm glad you came on to give us this, understanding of what we're up against. Because if we know that, if we know what we're up against and we know how dangerous this really is, and I think we all inherently sort of know it's not good for us, but we don't know how bad really, but to hear this and to hear some practical ideas for how to minimize that, and to hear some extreme ideas for how to minimize that too, I think it's a great thing for people to at least think about it. And I think a lot of people are going to, you know, if they hear this show, they may think, oh, this doesn't impact me. I don't really have these problems, but I know somebody who does. So I'm assuming that sure, this will probably be shared around a bit. What's the best place for people to buy your book, to find you, to support your work and everything that you're up to?
Sure. The book is still sold. You know, I still sell on Amazon. Not my favorite place for different reasons, and there are several guidelines, but it did help my career quite a lot, to be honest. The paperback is on Amazon, and you can have the ebook on my website, theemfguy.com. I also have a course and different things I'm working on and newsletters. So if you want to learn more tips, especially if you're, you know, a little bit shocked from this conversation and say, oh my God, I don't remember where to start. That this is really what I've been doing in the last years, is free videos, my podcast. And a lot of it is, you know, just start with this one step and this one thing and go from there. You know, you don't have to freak out about it, especially if you don't feel sensitive to the technology, but just made it part of, you know, what you think for the next month. Okay, yeah, I could improve that. I could, you know, plug my Wi-Fi on a Christmas light timer so it turns off at night. And some of these steps are quite easy, and most of them are free or just require a change of habit. So you have to put in a little bit of work. And then once it's a new habit, you put your phone in front of you when you arrive at the office and instead of keeping it in your pocket, well, it's no big deal. It's not like your life is harder because of it. If anything, it's going to be better.
Yeah, well, it's about awareness, and I'm glad you came by to spread awareness about everything that's going on with the EMF world. That's Nicholas Pineau. Support his work, buy his book. If you heard this episode and you think it might be impactful for somebody in your life, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.